Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On yesterday's episode, I asked a question. I asked, in your guys' opinion, have the Chicago Bulls gotten better or have they gotten worse since the end of last season? And even put up a poll in that your responses were interesting, right? On today's episode, I want to talk about each member of the Chicago Bulls roster and talk about what I want to see them improve on in the 2025-26 season. I'm also going to dive into the mailbag. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the hoster, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. Y'all, I want to look at each member of the Chicago Bulls roster, assuming Josh Giddey resigns. And I want to talk about what I want to see each one of the players improve on. We're going to start with the starting five. Let's look at Josh Giddey first. What's something I want to see Josh Giddey improve on in 2025-26? We know his passing is really good. The rebounding is really good. What I want to see Josh Giddey is improve on, of course, it's easy to say defensively. And I do think defensively, he has that room for growth. That's where he has the most room for growth at. We all know that, right? So to see Josh Giddey improve defensively is absolutely we want to see that, right? But there's a certain area that I specifically want to see Josh Giddey improve on next year, right? So when you look at Josh Giddey, right, he's averaged less than one pull-up three a game last season. And he shot that at 35% on pull-up threes. Then when you look at his catch and shoot threes, which honestly surprised me, he shot the ball 38.4% on catch and shoot threes, right? Now, we know that Josh Giddey started off as an absolutely terrible three-point shooter, and he's improved every single year. And the reason why I'm looking at three-point shooting even more than defense, right? I think defense is mostly effort. And when you actually look at Josh Giddey in his defense in the paint and in mid-range, it's actually pretty solid. Go and check out those defensive numbers there. Of course, out on the perimeter, he needs to give more effort. But if Josh Giddey can become a more consistent three-point shooter with his ability to put the ball on the floor and drive, 38% on catch-and-shoot threes is a really good percentage, especially for somebody who's never going to be a volume three-point shooter. You don't need him to take a huge number of volume three-point shots. You just need him to be efficient in the opportunities he's going to get. And I think that actually allows for him to play with Coby White a little bit more in Coby's ability to drive. So that's one area I want to see Josh Giddey continue to refine, is that catch-and-shoot three-point ability as well as defense. And if he does that, I think that Josh Giddey is going to be more than worth whatever contract he ends up signing. That we'll see for another day. Next up, Coby White. Coby White, what do I want to see Coby White improve on? Consistency was a lot better last year for Coby White. And him and Josh Giddey both need to improve defensively. So again, I'm not going to go with the low-hanging fruit there. It's easy to say defensively. Of course, I want to see Coby White be a better defender. I want to see him and Josh Giddey be a better defensive backcourt. Absolutely. Where I want to see Coby White grow at is as a jump shooter. And a set shooting and jump shooting are very different things. Coby White has been a really good set shooter for his career. But what I mean by jump shooter, I want to see him coming off screens. I want to see him do that a little bit more. I want to see him have opportunities where he doesn't get to set and then take the three-point shot, meaning off-balance, stuff like that. I want to see him become better at that, but not only at the three-point range, but also in the mid-range as well. If Coby can do that as well as add more free-throw shooting, one thing that we saw with Coby White at the end of last year was he got to the free-throw line at a much higher clip than what he did at all at any point of his career. If he can do that, man, that's going to be a big thing for Coby White and his ability to just keep putting pressure on defenses. For his career, he's only averaged 2.4 free throws per game. Last year, he averaged 4 free throws per game, which put up, like, I mean, that basically doubled what he did last year. Then you look at the month-to-month. The last couple of months of the season, he averaged over 6, one time almost 7 free throws per game. If Kobe can do that consistently with his ability to drive, that's going to make a big difference for Kobe White. Next up, whoever you have, I'm going to use Ayo Dosunmu as my projected starting small forward here. It could be Isaac Okoro. It can be Kevin Huerter. But just for the nature of the conversation, we're going to go with Ayo Dosunmu. What I need to see Ayo Dosunmu improve on. As a starter, Ayo is very different than what his numbers tell you when he's coming off the bench. As a starter, Ayo is like, it's almost night and day how much his shooting splits are better as a starter. Now, one can say, is that playing with Kobe White? Whatever it is. As a starter last year, he shot the ball 52% from the field and 35, almost 36% from three. The season before that, last season, I think it was almost 38% from three-point range as a starter. Let me double-check that real quick. He actually was 41% as a starter in the 2023-24 season from three-point range. With Ayo's ability to create and drives, his ability as well, we all know what he is in transition and the defensive ability that he does bring. If Ayo can bring that three-point shooting consistency up or keep it the same, he needs to be between what it was last year and what it was in 23-24. If he can do those things, be around a 38% three-point shooter. And keep in mind, in 23-24, he took 5 three-pointers per game and hit it at a 41% clip. That's really good efficiency. When you look as a starter last season, for example, it wasn't nearly the same of volume. It was 4.5 and 35, almost 36%. If he can get that to 38% on about 6 to 7 attempts per game, which I do think are going to be here for him in this offense, considering all things, I think that can work out for Ayo Dosunmu. Matas Buzelis at the 4, better at everything offensively. And what I mean by that is I need to see him become a better shooter. I need him to be better shooting-wise. If he can be a better shooter with his ability to and his hops and his ability to get to the lane and slash, it basically makes him, you have to guard him as a 3-level scorer. 45% from the field last season, decent. I need to see him be closer to 50% from the field, especially considering a lot of his buckets are going to be around the rim. The 36% from three-point range isn't terrible, right? Especially for a player that we know that his three-point shooting was one of his knocks in his draft class. If he can get up to a 38% three-point shooter, so overall, just shooting more efficiently with Modest. And the volume is probably going to go up. Only averaged 6.9 shots per game last season, so let's just round that up to 7. He's probably going to see closer to double-digit shot attempts per game this season. And so with that said, I really would love to see Matas Buzelis, you know, grow in those areas. And I think if he can become a better and more consistent shooter, you know, it's going to be night and day for him. Post All-Star break, he actually was averaging 10 shots per game, hit it at 46% from the field, still that same 36% from three, but he was taking almost 5 per game. Get that up to 38% on similar volume. I think that's going to be really solid for Matas Buzelis if he does that for a full season. So that's what you're looking at for Matas, at least in my opinion. Nikola Vucevic. Vooch is one of the most consistent Bulls, despite what some Bulls fans will tell you. And the thing that I look at that I want to see Vooch improve on absolutely wholeheartedly is I want to see Vooch be more aggressive offensively. He's not going to grow as a defender at this point in time. It'll be pointless for me to say, oh, I need to see Nikola Vucevic become some lockdown defender. It's not going to happen at his age, how long he's been in the league. But what I do know that Nikola Vucevic can be is more aggressive, more consistently, and call for the ball more down low. There were certain times, despite him being one of the most consistent Bulls last year, there were several times where the Bulls needed a bucket and Vooch was nowhere to be found. You need more consistency than that from Vooch. If you can get that, I think that goes a big way in Vooch being a more consistent player for you. So let's see if we can get that from Vooch. Trey Jones, be Trey Jones. Be here consistently all season. Don't get injured. And I think that Trey just needs to be that change of pace guard and fit in with Josh Giddey and Kobe White. If he continues to do that, it's going to be big minutes here from him. Kevin Huerter, continue to be that three-point shooter. I would say this. I actually want to see Kevin Huerter actually improve the three-point shot than what he had last year. He was decent on it. Make no mistake about it. But you look at Kevin Huerter and his reputation as a three-point shooter, there's no doubt that there's a little bit of room for growth there for Kevin Huerter. And so that's what I really would like to see Kevin Huerter improve on. Be a little bit better at three-point shooting here in Chicago. Last season, 37%, not bad on 7 attempts per game. Get that up. Get that up a little bit to about 38, 39% three-point shooting-wise. And I think also Kevin Huerter got over a steal per game for the Bulls last season. Be that consummate role player. Continue fitting in for Kevin Huerter, I think, is a real big thing for him. Isaac Okoro, man, listen. Okoro, I think, has to just be defense. Focus on defense. You're going to get open threes by playing off of Kobe White, playing off of Josh Giddey. Defense, we need that defensive intensity. He said in that introductory video, he wants to lock down the opposing team's best player. Go out there and show us that. If you do that consistently, man, that changes so much of the dynamic here for the Chicago Bulls. Zach Collins, I just really want to see be more him. I think be more consistent is the thing with Zach Collins. We saw some really, really good games from Zach Collins and some games where he kind of disappeared. Be yourself. Be more consistent, I think, from him. I think we're good there. Dalen and Julian, I'm just going to say find your role next season and do it consistently in whatever it is. Find the thing that you are good at and you bring to this team consistently and then dive into that wholeheartedly. So if it's Dalen with energy, get it on transition, playing the passing lanes, attacking in transition as well, I would love to see Dalen do that. If Dalen can do that more consistently, I think that opens up the floor for him quite a bit. Noah Essengay. Noah just got to prove it. I think Noah is so raw. Defense. I can't really say improve because he's a rookie, but defense. I think in his first year, just buy into it defensively. Do what you need to do defensively to get yourself out on the basketball court. If you do that, I think you're starting ahead of the game in your rookie year. Julian, to get back to Julian Phillips, Julian has the potential to be the first forward off the bench for this team. I really do think that. Now, will he do that? Because Julian can play the three, he can play the four, he can play in transition. The corner threes, he grew a lot on as well. I think those things, getting out in transition, we know he can finish around the rim. Julian Phillips needs to be watching a lot of Derrick Jones Jr. tape. Because if he can come in and be that role player for the Bulls, a mix between DJJ and Javonte Green, the sky's the limit for him. P. Will, this is the one that I don't know how to get into. I just want to see P. Will be consistent. Like, you're coming into next season being on the bench. You're probably not going to be a starter next year to start off with, and just make that bench role yours. Be that role player that comes off the bench and just does a little bit of everything for the Bulls. Some of the expectation is off you now. Now you just got to go out there and make it happen. And let's hope that P. Will can do that. Jalen Smith is the last one. I think Jalen has done good. I think Billy Donovan just doesn't trust Jalen. So I'd say this. For Jalen, make Billy Donovan have to play you. That's how what you have to do is you have to make Billy Donovan realize he can play you at the four or the five, and the matchup differences that you make and ability there if he allows you to do that. That's what I look at for Jalen. Jalen Smith is just, he just needs to be more consistent is what he does. As far as guys like Javon Carter, get off the team. That's what I would really like to see you improve on, is not be on our team. That can happen, and hopefully that's what happens there. All right, that's it. No two-way contract players. So Lachlan Albrecht, Yuki Carmore, I'm not counting them on this. I'm going to have their own video on them at some point as we get closer to the G League season. So that's why I don't have them listed there. All right, it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man. We got four of them today. This first one's from CP.
Yo, what's going on, baby? This is CP, bro. I'm sitting here watching the mailbag episode. And I just heard you say that you wouldn't be surprised if Pete will come into a training camp locked in and everything. And I just want to say, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. The problem is I'm not so worried about training camp with him. It's more so about the after. You know what I mean? So, every time since we got DeMar and Zach and them, he's coming to training camp, started, and then he started a couple of games and then he got threatened. And then there was the threat of your position is going to be taken. Your starting position is going to be taken, right? And then after that, it kind of depends on a need. So, he couldn't lose it to Torrey Craig. He wasn't going to lose it to Taylor Perry. He wasn't going to lose it to Junior, right? But even still this time, I don't think it'll be different. I feel like he'll come in locked in. He'll play October, maybe the first week or two. And then if Billy or if we're all just kind of seeing like, okay, yeah, it's done, he's going to get kicked out. Like, he's going right back to the bench. So there's really no, I really don't have any confidence in him. I have all the confidence that he'll come into training camp and win that starting three position. But at the same time, I don't feel like he'll keep it. You know what I mean? And that's just based on his history. I don't necessarily feel like he'll keep it at all, even if he does. So, that's just what I've seen and what I've observed. But you tell me what you think. All right.
P. Will coming into camp locked in. I mean, listen, we say, like, you guys know, at this point I'm over P. Will. Not because I don't think P. Will has skill, but it just comes down, like you said, to P. Will wanting it, right? So hopefully he comes in. I'm worried more about P. Will being consistent, right? Like, can you, whatever you do, can you do that consistently? I think the difference this
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&C supply in-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I know you said be a starter or whatnot. I think the difference this year is that I don't expect him to be a starter. I don't think he's going to start at the three personally. Now, if he does, that means he probably came into training camp locked in, as you said. But I think P. Will's going to start off coming off the bench. And I think that may be the best role for him, to be 100% honest. Come off the bench, show what you can bring. If you can't, there are people behind you that are going to be ready. I think that's what P. Will really has to look at. He has to be locked in with bringing that consistently. If he can do that, I think there's going to be a role here for P. Will for sure. All right, let's get into the last one. I mean, the next one for today. This one's from Vikram.
What's up, Hayes? It's Vikram. So on Locked On Bulls episode today, you talked about a topic like, what was it? Who do you think will surprise the most this season? And personally for me, it's going to be Kevin Huerter. We all saw it after the All-Star break, but the national media teams didn't really see what Kevin Huerter really is. And I think this year will be a good year where, like, him out of, I feel like a lot of other players will really thrive off Giddy probably the most, just because his ability to move without the ball, shoot, handle it a little, are all, like, perfect, like, plug-in. That's, like, great plug-in play for our team specifically, and I feel like he can average, like, a cool 12 to 13 a game on impressive shooting, like 37-38%, and average like 3 assists per game. But his ability to just be a nice role player will be really wanted by the rest of the league, in my opinion. And also, the fact that he's an expiring contract will make his value really high. In my opinion, that's the guy, if I were to answer that question. Also, I feel like you and Pat mentioned a lot that Io is less replaceable than Kobe's skill set. And when contenders want to push the extra level, they get a guy like Io. I agree. But I feel like you guys are kind of undervaluing Kobe's skill set while overvaluing Io's skill set. Because I feel like Io's skill set is a lot more replaceable, in that you can always go and trade for a guy like that, or sign a player like that, like a Bruce Brown or Alex Crusoe, who helped win these championships. And a guy like Kobe White isn't like the normal scorer. Like, he isn't like an Anthony Simons, Cam Thomas, kind of like tunnel vision, can get you a couple assists, but isn't like creating like advantages through his offensive creation the way that Kobe White does. And I feel like that comes with like a natural knack for offense that a lot of these score-first players don't really have the way Kobe does. And just for that simple reason, like, I don't think you can just straight up say, like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, like say that Io is more important to this team, in your opinion, than Kobe White, just because I see it as Kobe White's skill set has been proven more, and it's a wider range than just being a scoring first guard.
Kevin Herter surprised next season? I mean, I think you mentioned, like, he does a lot. Pass the ball really well. The steals per game, like I mentioned, the shooting that he can do, playing off of Josh Giddey and Kobe was really good last year. And I do think Kevin Herter can play an important role for the Chicago Bulls next season, whether he's starting or coming off the bench. He just has to buy into it. And I don't think we're going to have a problem with Kevin Herter in a contract year buying into the role that the Bulls have there for him. I actually think he's going to really excel at that. So let's see how that works out. All right, so let's see. Here's the thing. For Patrick Williams, for Kobe. Pat, the designer, is the one that says that Kobe's easily replaceable. I agree with Pat that I do think Io brings more versatility to more different lineups. I'm not at the place that Pat, the designer, is as far as thinking that Kobe's just easily replaceable. I do think you can find 20-point-per-game scores that can just fill it up. But, you know, Kobe does do more things. Like the way that he creates off the drives, those type of things are parts of his game that people don't really think. Now, I don't think you can say that Kobe's necessarily proven more than Io just because he scored more. But I don't think that that's Kobe's fault. I think that between the Bulls changing his role every single year, that's part that played into that as well. And he's, for the first time, not his role, as we know right now, is not changing year after year. So I think that's going to be a big part of what could be the difference for Kobe White heading into this year. He just has to, again, buy into it like everybody else. So let's see if he can do that. Like I said, the changing the role every year is not his fault. Let's see what he can does when it, what he can do when that role is not changing. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from the 305.
Hi, Hayes. First time caller, long time listener. My name's Sam. On the Josh Giddey issue, I obviously think that $20 million for 4 years is good. At 25, I would think that it's time to think of a kind of trade situation. Personally, I think he's basically Zach LaVine, where he can do one or two good things for the team, but he would be too expensive moving forward. I believe that maybe we should do a sign and trade with Memphis for Scotty Pippen Jr. and Santi Aldama. Yes, we need to free up some space. We need to get rid of Carter. And there's a bunch of players that haven't panned out that we probably should think about moving from. Dayton Terry, Julian Phillips, although he's a promising young fellow, but we as an organization have taken too long to develop them. And I think that if we can get those two players that are still young, still on the upswing, but already have a baseline that's better than our youthful talent baseline, meaning Phillips or Terry, I think those would be better fits, especially since Santi can play the 4, the 5, or the 3, and is a better defender, and is used to the pace. Now, if you look at Scottie Pippen Jr., he's a better defender, he plays fast. I think he's a better... Maybe he doesn't have the height that Josh Giddey has, or the amazing passing ability that Josh Giddey has. But I think overall, he's a more complete player than Josh Giddey. Maybe not as good in certain areas, but a more complete player. That's at least what I think. I look at the debate now of $30 million for Josh Giddey. I think that's too much. And if you do have to do another contract for him, you're reaching the supermax level. And is he going to be tradable later? I think that if we go for a more affordable, younger option, or still useful option, we could also extend Kobe White.
Comparing Josh Giddey to Kobe White, and no offense, no offense to you, it's not nearly the same. It's not nearly the same. Josh Giddey does more things that actually help his teammates. Zach LaVine was a scorer, and he was a on-ball dominant scorer who didn't really play a lot of defense. Not to say that Giddey plays a lot of defense either, but you talk about the rebounding consistently. creating the fast break, being towards the top of the league, open shots generated for teammates, that right there alone puts him as doing more things for your team that helps than Zach LaVine. I feel like the Zach LaVine comparison people make to Josh Giddey, just because they're both up for contracts, is bad too. Josh Giddey's contract will be nowhere near as restrictive as what Zach LaVine's contract was either. So I don't think that you can just say that comparison between those two, there's a lot of intricacies that make it different. Highly different in that case as well, right? Now, as far as you saying that the trade them to who's going to want anything for Dalen at this point? And to Memphis for Santi Aldama, why would Memphis Grizzlies, who have Ja Morant on their team and drafted Cedric Howard to be their shooting guard of the future, why on earth would they want Dalen Terry or Josh Giddey at this point? Like, when we think of trades, let's not just think of players that you want. Think about what would make sense for the other team. And so you could talk about the positive all of Santi Aldama all you want, but Memphis is not going to let that go for Dalen Terry, and they have no use for Josh Giddey with already having a point guard there, that they're going to try to figure out if they can extend or not. I don't get where you're getting at with that trade. Again, no offense. Thank you for calling in. And I respect the fact that you have a different view on it. And this isn't like your view on Giddey is your view on Giddey. But like, if we're going to talk about let's moving players, let's think about deals that are sensible for both sides, I would say. But you know, that's my thought. You guys can let me know how you feel down below. Let's get into this last voicemail for today, man. This one's from the 470.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Bulls Central community. What's good? I hope everybody's doing good. I just wanted to tap in with the Josh Giddey signing. And it dawned on me, like, this is not the NBA that it used to be when who was it, Quickly, when he got his deal, and who else they was comparing him to? When Thug got his deal. It's the CBA, that's making contracts way more harder than it used to be. And now I'm thinking, like, the Bulls might be on to something because they planning for the future by not signing all this money to Josh Giddey. Also, on the other hand, I see a lot of potential coming from Noah. When we first drafted him, not gonna lie, thought he looking like a goofy, but shit, I don't know, curse my fault. But I think we standing on business. I think he's standing on business. I think he might take T. Will's spot for sure. But let me know what you think about Josh Giddey actually being a bad teammate for this. Let me know what you think about that. Because if you're really a good teammate, you're going to take what they give you. It's not like it's a bad offer. It's actually good money compared to if you're trying to build around him and what they're trying to give him. Like, it's either he's trying to get his money or he's trying to build a team and chase rings. And I could tell he's just trying to get money. And he didn't even prove that he's worth that. Like, really, he's just trying to go off of, what is it, a play-in? A play-in tournament? Nah, we need more than that. And, shoot, I hope he could do it for us. But I don't think that $30 million is worth a play-in tournament. And the record that we got last year, you got to do more than that. You want the bucks you want. But, yeah, I hope y'all take care. Let me know what you think, hey.
All right, so, okay. Josh Giddey being a bad teammate because he didn't take the contract, I can't get with that at all. I don't think that makes Josh Giddey a bad teammate at all if not taking the first offer that was to him. I think his teammate is what you do with your team. Business is business. I think most of these NBA players recognize what business is. So saying that it makes him a bad teammate, and if he wanted to be a good teammate, he just would have took the offer, I'm sorry, that's logic I just can't get with. I don't think that makes sense. I think you want to be paid what you're worth. Every player wants to be paid what they're worth. Now, we can have a conversation on how much he's worth or not. I also think people have a really bad understanding on how much the $30 million contract, if even that was what they were going to give him, which I don't think is going to happen now via the negotiations and things that are going on. Even if that is what they were going to be willing to give him, it's not that detrimental. The Bulls have a completely open salary cap right now. I have like five players under contract next year. So that's not the thing either. I can't get with the whole it makes him a bad teammate because he didn't just take the Bulls' first offer. I can't get with that. That's just my personal opinion. I don't vibe with that. I do think it's a negotiation. Both sides are going to have to give up something. And Josh Giddey's probably not going to get everything that he wants. And that he's just going to have to deal with it at that point. But, you know, that's just my disagreement. As far as Noah Essanay, though, I do think he's going to come into camp ready. I do think he's going to come into camp locked in, ready to go. Because he knows, like, he has a path and an ability to make a little bit of a way for him to be on that roster and get some minutes there as the season goes on. So I think Noah Essanay is definitely going to be locked in and ready to go. I think he's a competitor. We've heard him and Modest have a very similar mindset on the court. which makes me very, very excited for what he can be. But that's my thought. Thank you for calling in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like we like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.